Welcome to this Tuesday edition of Main Street here on Prairie Public. I'm Craig Blumenschein.
We begin Main Street today with another in our periodic visits with North Dakota mayors. Today we're checking in on Williston, a city that's seen remarkable growth over the last decade. Once a small town transformed by the Bakken oil boom, Williston is still growing and evolving. Mayor Howard Klug is here with us to share what's on the horizon for the community. Mayor, welcome to Main Street.
Well, thank you for having me on, and I hope that this informal chat will give you some more insight of how an oil city got through what we did, and also where our future is going to lie out here in Western North Dakota.
Right. There's still more chapters to be written. Certainly, it's not going to be all about the oil impact of the past. And Mayor, I want to start just with you, if I could, before we get into all things Williston. You're a lifelong resident, and you've built a career in hospitality before public service. How did that private sector experience shape the way you approach what's now one of North Dakota's faster growing communities?
When I was growing up in Williston, I always had a job, whether it was a paper route or if it was dishwashing and the restaurants, those kind of things. So that's one of the things that shapes my view of Williston, that if you come here, if you work hard, you're going to find a job. The other thing that I look back on my career in that hospitality industry is I went through a couple of these oil booms and busts and those kind of things. I had 70 employees at the time, give or take, that I had to take care of. We had to make sure that there was a paycheck every 2 weeks. And I'm proud that we never missed payroll. We're never late on anything. Even during those times, we got pretty creative of what we did to make sure that we could make ends meet. And there's a lot of people that did that too. And so at the start of this oil boom, the Bakken boom, which is totally different than any of the other booms that we had, because we know where the oil is. We know we're going to find it 99.9% of the time. But going back to my career in hospitality and also being a sole proprietor with my partners, we figured out how to get it done. We figured out how to go forward, and we reaped the benefits with this last oil boom.
You also played football at Minot State. Your deep ties to Williston High School, of course. What lessons from those years, either on the field or maybe even in student leadership, do you think still influence the way you lead today, Mayor?
When I was in high school, when I was in college, I was always interested in some, not so much political, but being part of decision-making and also the decisions to have fun and those kind of things. And to make sure that I was vice president of our senior high school class when I went to Minot State. I was involved in the Big M Club and also with a fraternity there. I was president of the fraternity for a couple of years and also on the student council in Minot and those kind of things. And a lot of that just goes back to my days of playing football. And I remember my coach, George Amston, said to somebody one time, and I overheard him, and he was talking about me being mayor and those kind of things. And he said to this other individual, well, he should know what's going on, because every week he had to get ready for a different opponent. There was a game at every Friday, and our team and him being in the middle of the line, I was the center, had to be ready for whatever they were going to throw at us. So I think that football mentality that he instilled on me helped me a lot as I went forward and make sure that we know that something's coming up. We have to be prepared for it. You better get there.
So what initially drew you into city government? Why did you run for political office?
I started on the city council, and I looked, it's a lot of, like a lot of other things. I was well established in my career. We're starting what could have, you know, what we thought was going to be just another play of the oil, and we weren't quite sure exactly what was going on with the Bakken, but things were ramping up, and people were getting out of politics. The people that wanted to get into politics, I said, I could do a better job than that. So I talked to my partners, those kind of things, and they said, well, as long as it doesn't affect what your positions are here and our business there, go for it. And so I had full support there. And I ran the first time. I think I might have had two or three opponents against me and those kind of things, and I was elected. And then I moved forward, got reelected, and then during the middle of my second term, our long-standing mayor, Ward Cozier, who actually had four terms as mayor, this year is my third term as mayor of Williston, he decided that he was going to retire. The other person that I ran against was somebody from somewhere else who was going to tell us what was best about where he came from and what we needed to do here in Williston to make sure that we were going to be the same as somebody else. And he's a successful business person. He still has a few restaurants in town and those kind of things. Did great things for the city of Williston, but he wasn't ready. He didn't know enough about the demographics of Williston in this area, the old timers and new people, to put them all together and take care of the people that were here in town. So that's why I got involved, and that's why I ran for mayor, because I knew that I had two different groups that I had to deal with, the people that had made Williston what it was and the people that were going to make Williston what it was going to become, and mesh those both together. So I think I had the mindset, I know I had the mindset that I'm going to get it done. Didn't realize it was going to run so fast and so hard, but once I started on down that path, I think that overall, with the right help and the right people that we had in place and the other commissioners, we did a fairly good job of what was thrown at us.
We have a lot of things to talk about now with Williston. We're going to talk about economic diversification, oil and gas today, Williston Square, housing, public safety, health care, quality of life and recreation, infrastructure and finance. And I want to start with economic diversification. Williston's worked hard to diversify out of the boom and bust cycle of oil. What does a diversified Williston economy look like to you in 5 to 10 years?
No, we've got billions of dollars worth of infrastructure going in that's going to provide energy to the rest of North Dakota and also the upper Midwest and throughout the power grid all the way down to Texas. And you have to look at the map to understand how that grid works and everything else. It's truly amazing. But we're going to be able to use the natural gas that right now some of it is being flared, some of it's being shipped out, but we're going to be able to use that commodity right here and be an energy powerhouse to be able to supply whatever we need for energy. And I think the county has also just approved another wind farm. So we'll have plenty of power up here, and those are the things that people will be looking for. We know how to make power. Some of it's, whether it's clean energy, whether it's what I call conventional energy that is clean by anybody's standards in the industry right now. We have the ability to do that and to supply other people. So with that being available to us here in Williston, whether it be a data center, whether it be a Surleyon gas plant that's going to take gas and turn it into liquids and other products like that, it's all going to rely on our ability to be able to provide them with the energy. We have plenty of water here. We have plenty of water rights out of the Missouri River out here. Matter of fact, our water plant supplies water to the entire western North Dakota, all the way down to Watford City, down to the Killdeer area, to the Canadian line, over to Stanley. And that's through the WAS system. We're still running the water plant, but we're going to turn that over to them in a couple of years. So all the things are in place. We built a wastewater treatment plant that will take us into probably 50,000, 60,000 people before we have to look at it. That, again, same thing with the landfill. You have to do something with your waste, and we're good for another 50 years there. And we built on that all the while expanding Williston. So industry, we've always been an ag town. We've been an oil town. We're going to still combine those two. And whether we invested heavily into the research center out here about new seed varieties, new ways of cleaning that seed, those kind of things, malting barley plant right outside the city of Williston. And then also when we designed our new airport, we had in mind that sure, Grand Forks has got Sky Harbor, those kind of things with the drone technology. But Western North Dakota is also going to be part of that network throughout North Dakota. And with a combination between those people out there doing what they do and Western North Dakota being able to take that technology and mesh it, I think that's going to be another big driving factor for the city of Williston.
If you're just joining us, I'm enjoying my conversation with Williston Mayor Howard Klug. Once transformed by the Bakken oil boom, Williston continues to grow and evolve, and that's what we're talking about today. Mayor, for entrepreneurs and small business owners, what's the city doing to make Williston a place, and how would you make an invitation to those folks to say, hey, you know what? Come here. Let's start and grow together.
That's one of the things that I'm most proud of. Our economic development team works hard to make sure that you come to Williston, North Dakota, you stop in at our development center down there. You start probably with Keith Olson with the small business development. And our small business development between ourselves and Watford City, he does more business than any other center in the state of North Dakota. And that's including the big ones, the Fargos, the Grand Forks, the Bismarcks, and those kind of things. Through the course of time, we've helped hundreds of businesses through our STAR Fund, whether it's a startup loan of a small amount, or we partner heavily with the Bank of North Dakota. We're probably we're the biggest customers about providing our money, and then the state of North Dakota pushes it back 2-to-1 match so we can buy down interest rates. And everything helps when you're starting a new business. You have to have the capital, you have to have the finance, you have to have a business plan, you have to have the dream of what you're going to be here, what's going to happen to your business. And I think we've established that really well here in North Dakota, especially in Western North Dakota, right here in Williston. Because you come to Williston, you go through that, you go to our economic development department, you talk to the STAR funds, you get all of those kind of things in place. You walk upstairs in the same building. You talk to planning and zoning to make sure that your site, your ideas are going to fit into the area that you want to be. Down the hall, you get a building permit. And then once all the financing is in place, you're ready to start here, your business in Williston, North Dakota. So entrepreneurs, we have a lot of those people that come in here from all over the country and also all over the world. And they start small. They might be working at Walmart. They might be working somewhere else. And they say, well, you know, I'm going to start a nail salon, or I'm going to start a business that does this. We have an African international grocery store in Williston, North Dakota on Main Street here. So there's a lot of people that can come to Western North Dakota, look around what's available, and start a business. And I think that if everything is in place, if they've got the plan, if they've got the finance, they will be successful.
So, Mayor, are you already looking at the day? And maybe you can't even see it with different changes in recent policy relative to traditional energy sources. But are you looking towards the day when that oil and gas activity might taper a little bit, yet Williston will succeed?
Oh, absolutely. You always have to have a plan. And that's the way I end most of my meetings that I have with my staff and other people that are sitting in the room. And it might be contentious. It might be something that's difficult to figure out. But I say, do we have a plan? And if everybody's in agreement, then we'll walk out the door. Are those plans all going to work? Probably. The majority of the time, we'll get there. Plans do change. Things change. But one of the things that we always do, whether it's the city council or our staff, that whether it's engineering, whether it's the airport staff, whether it's public works, economic development, law enforcement, fire department, there's so many different things about running a city. We have a plan. And so that plan is you work with others. Our college is one of the examples. We teamed with the college to build daycares. We teamed with the college to get programs up here for entrepreneurs. And also now with the new healthcare building that they just opened at first of this year, we're going to train EMTs, we're going to train nurses, we're going to train other people to make sure that Williston will be able to have the healthcare professionals that we need. We'll still have to attract doctors and those kind of people that we haven't had the ability yet of training right here. But we're going to have a four-year college one of these days. Our airport is going to be continued to expand. We built an airport out here in Western North Dakota, the only airport from the ground up, a greenfield airport in the last probably 20 years that was built in the United States. And I'm pretty proud of that and the resumes there. So we can get things done out here.
I want to learn more about Williston Square. It's one of the most ambitious redevelopment projects that is going on in the state. What is it? Where does it stand today? And what's next?
Williston Square is where our old airport was, and it's right in the heart of the city of Williston. We built around it. When Sloan Field was first established, it was probably half a mile out of town, a quarter mile out of town. But as we grew up around it. It's about 800 acres, and we ran out of room. We couldn't land planes that were large enough to take care of things that were happening in the Bakken oil field, those kind of things. So we had to build a new airport. So that left us with 800 acres of what do you do with that? Doug Burgum was the governor at the time. His Main Street initiative, this was Main Street, but it was where all our infrastructure would be able to run to. So we just needed to tie into that. So we put a lot of money back into planning the roads, the infrastructure, the water, the sewer, et cetera, that's going to go into that airport. And it's starting to pay off right now. Bethel Home, our local nursing home and elderly facility, is moving dirt out there right now. First part of this this coming spring, we're going to be starting on a new facility for hockey and turf out there with three sheets of ice, they call it the power play building. So that will be able to not only take care of the hockey needs, the skating needs, the soccer needs of Williston, but also be able to attract others for tournaments, et cetera, here in Williston. Then down the road, we repurposed our old terminal into a state-of-the-art 911 center. So we take care of the entire 911 out of Williams County and part of McKenzie County and those kind of things. So we do a lot of good at repurposing of what was there. Then we move over a little bit farther. We've established some fast food restaurants in there already. It all started with a local business called Genesis, who once again started with the Economic Development Department, realized what Williston needed for clothing and those kind of things, went through that entire program. We got him the Star Fund money. We did a lot of different things to help him along. And through his hard work, he was the first one to build in Williston Square. And now down the road, Sanford Health has bought some property down there. And I'm 99.999% at the end of this week, we are going to have an announcement that a lot of people have been looking for a major box store here in Williston Square to not only complete that first section out there, but also jumpstart a lot of different businesses that want to be built around that hub of retail activity in Williston. So then you move toward the back of the square. We partnered with the school district and stole some land, used some grant funding to make sure that we got roads and those kind of things, and building a new elementary school, Sloan Elementary, that will house over 500 children. Because Williston, during this whole boom town, we went from having maybe 50 births a year to well over 800, 900 births a year. And they all grow up. They have to go to school somewhere. So that's going into the square. On the other side of that, there's a road system that we put in to make sure that people can get from one part of town to the other. And along that road, we're going to start a housing development in Williston Square this spring. Then you wrap yourself around even farther up to the north and west. Our municipal golf course has got plans now, and they're going to expand that area, their golf course from a 9-hole course to an 18-hole course. So the recreational opportunities will also be in the square. I was out there the other day just walking my dog, and the trails, those kind of things, are a lot of them are already in. So it's walkable. It's feasible to when you live out there, you're going to have the shopping there. You're going to have the groceries there. You're going to have the elementary school there, the hockey facility. And somewhere down the line, this will be after my time, but we will have a convention center in the Williston Square. So that Williston Square is going to be the heart of Williston. It's going to be the big hub for retail. And also, once Sanford builds a clinic, hopefully to expand into a hospital of some sort, it will be another healthcare mecca here for Western North Dakota. Big plans for Williston Square. And finally, through all the planning, we put the edges of a puzzle together. And now those pieces are being filled in through people that want to invest in Williston and also these companies, the larger companies that realize that Western North Dakota isn't going anywhere. Williston isn't going to go anywhere. There is money to be made here and services to be provided. So you get pretty excited about Williston Square because it's finally coming together and pretty proud of that.
Mayor, we're going to take a quick break for the news here on Prairie Public. We're enjoying our conversation with Williston Mayor Howard Klug, and we have a lot more to talk about. Stay with us. This is Main Street on Prairie Public. I'm Craig Blumenschein, and we're continuing our conversation with the mayor of Williston, Howard Klug. Once transformed by the Bakken oil boom, Williston continues to grow and evolve. We've heard a lot, but there's a lot more to talk about, including housing, public safety, healthcare, quality of life in Williston, and more. I want to turn to housing, Mayor, if I could. Welcome back to Main Street. Mayor, how would you describe the current housing landscape in Williston, both, I guess, on availability and affordability?
Unfortunately, we are still reeling from the Bakken of in a catch-up situation with housing and all those young families that moved to Williston that needs places to live. You know, we went from an average age of almost, 55 plus down to where our average age was 29, 30 years old.
That's significant.
There's a lot of growth that's going to be happening here with those families, et cetera. And so we have to have places to house them. And affordability is, I don't care where it is right now, it is an expense. It's expensive to build homes, no matter what part of North Dakota you are, no matter what part of the country it is. So to get something in a starter home that's under $400,000 is a big push, is hard. But lately, from 2 years ago, we've probably tripled the amount of building permits for single-family homes that we've issued here in the city of Williston. And it's not a lot. I'm not talking about thousands of building permits and those kind of things. It's in the hundreds. And we've got incentives here through the county with their tax incentives to the city of Williston that if you come in and you give us your building plans, you start a house, you complete it within a year's time, we'll forgive those costs for those. We're using state programs of forgiving property taxes for the first couple of years. So all the programs that we know of that are out there, and some of them that we've created ourselves, is where we're at on trying to get new people to build homes in Williston. And we've been working with our contractors. We're developing our own tradespeople here through the CTE centers and through the college and those kind of things, entrepreneur or apprentice programs that we support wholeheartedly here in the city. And with that, then I mentioned earlier that we partnered with the college on daycare, but Wollaston has also partnered with the hospital on daycare. We've partnered with the church, and we built daycares there. We have a daycare program for people that come in, and we give them X amount of dollars every year for new supplies for their daycares and those kind of things. If they expand their daycare, those things are all part of a big mix that we're doing for the affordability and the housing here in the city of Wollaston. With that being said, then, we're going to need a lot of temporary housing. And we have a lot of hotel space because if the data center starts, we know that the power station, Basin's power station, is going to be built, and they're going to need thousands of workers there. And that'll put a strain on the apartment situation. So we'd like to see some more multifamily being built here. We have the property, we have the land, we have the ability for incentives and those kind of things. So I think it's just starting here. A lot of people are talking about putting maybe 20 units in. And so if you get people that are doing 20 units and then another person that's doing 20, you get 10 of those individuals to do those kind of homes. And then I think it's going to attract somebody that's going to say, we're going to put in a big housing development of maybe 500 homes. We'll still be short, but we're going to get there.
Mary, I want to turn the page to public safety. With growth, often you have challenges: narcotics, domestic violence, property crime. What are the most pressing public safety issues in Wollaston right now? And are you keeping ahead of the game relative to public safety?
Public safety is a hard one, no matter where you're at, because it's expensive to run public safety. Our public safety, it was fortunate that the citizens of Wollaston realized that we can't do it alone on property taxes or oil money and those kind of things, and they gave us the ability to have a 1 cent city sales tax along with the county. And that's one of the good things that the oil boom has done for us, because these tax dollars, the majority of those is coming from the industry. You know, that every time that you see a truckload of sand for frack or a truckload of pipe, those things are sales tax eligible. And so all these wells that are being drilled out, all the chemicals, et cetera, those are the things that have been able to allow us to build the fire stations, to beef up our ability to provide the services to people. One of the problems that we have now is manpower, because we're competing with everybody else with manpower, but we're doing what we can to make sure that we're training them, especially in our fire department, because we have an EMT program now at the college. We have a fire department program over at the high school at the CTE center over there. So we're growing our own on those. When we went through the Bakken boom, it was wild out here. There's no doubt about it. We had a lot of people in here. We had a lot of money flowing. A lot of people came in to take advantage of us. We built the federal government brought in the FBI and built a FBI station here. Now, since things have slowed down, et cetera, they moved those folks out, and I think they're based out of Minot mostly. But we had that ability to rely on those. The state of North Dakota, also their crime bureau, we use the resources that are out there to help us defend Western North Dakota. So with that being said, what are we going to do to make sure that people are safe in the city? We're going to put in the plans, the best plans that we can afford. We're going to have the best equipment that we can afford, but mainly we're going to invest into the people that are going to be able to use that equipment and those kind of things. Pretty proud of what we can do in the city of Wollaston right now. For a city our size, in a week's time, when you have, I think the numbers were staggering last week. They had 2,000 and some odd calls for service from the police department alone. The number seemed a little bit high to me, but that's what it was. And the response time was 6 minutes or less. So we're keeping up right now, and we're going to do what it takes to make sure that our citizens are safe. through training, through the right sizing of our fire department and our police department, and also using whatever monetary funds that we have that the city can afford with the revenues that we coming in. Because like I said, law enforcement, public safety is expensive. They take a lot of our resources that we have here in Wollaston, but we'll be okay.
Mayor, you talked earlier a little bit about healthcare. I want to go deeper now. You talk about access to healthcare, and from your perspective, have you been able to keep up there as well? You just mentioned Sanford Development in the Wollaston Square project. Do you feel the city is closer to meeting healthcare needs of your growing population?
Unfortunately, not. I think that we're still right on the edge of being able to say we're getting there. We are getting there. There's no doubt about that. But we need the big influx here. We need more providers. We need more specialists and those kind of things. One good thing that's happened here in the last couple of years, McKenzie County Health has come across the river from Watford City, et cetera, like that, and established clinics here in the city and brought with them some specialty groups of those kind of things. Sanford actually did buy one of the clinics here in Wollaston. CHI, our longtime provider, built the birthing center up there. They're remodeling the emergency room up there. They got a grant for $3 million from the state of North Dakota to build onto a mental health wing at the hospital. It all takes time. And now with the college being able to provide the people for the support staff, now we have to go and put it all together to make sure that the providers understand that Wollaston is a place to live. And at the very least, it's a place where you could come, whether it's for a couple weeks, a couple months, et cetera. You know that you're going to be helping the people out here. You know that you're going to be busy, and we'll take care of you once you get here. And with that, Wollaston ourselves, we're doing what we can. We just, this last year, we put in a fixed wing ambulance system through CareFlight. Once again, the Star Fund, it was a private group, and we're partnering with the city of Wollaston. We backstopped them for about $750,000. For the first step, so we can get people, once they're stable here, to somewhere else, whether it's Bismarck or Fargo or Billings, Rapid City, et cetera. So we have that ability, where before people were with the air ambulances, et cetera, were pulling out. So we did bring that back into, so we're taking little steps, but now we need to get the big step back in here where we have a full hospital. Our hospital right now is critical access hospital. So they only staff 20 some odd beds. And after that, everybody has to be moved out to where the specialties are. But I think that we're going to get closer and closer to where we need to be here in Wollaston.
Mayor, earlier you talked about how the average age of folks who live in Wollaston has dramatically fallen. And I have to believe that quality of life and recreation issues are becoming more important. What's the Wollaston Water World project and what excitement has that generated and how's it progressing? What does it mean for families?
Well, it opened this year, a project that was totally funded by private donations and private individuals. The city or the park board is going to run it. The city was involved in it by donating some property. Once again, it was one of those deals that we put together where when we built the high school, they needed some land additional land for their parking. The city had that property. We used that property for their parking. They own the land where the Water World is being built. So we said, okay, we're going to trade you. The city wants to trade you this property that you're using for your parking at your school. You give this to us, we're going to turn around and give it to the individuals that put together the Water World. And it all came into place, and it was a big contribution from the city. But the majority of this, I think it was probably a $15 million project or something like that, private donations. And when it opened up, I went down the water slide, me being 67 years old. I said, I'm going to get up there. I went down the slow side, but not the fast side. But just to say, you know, I was there when this thing opened, and the place is packed. The families are there. The kids are enjoying what's there. All the kids that have only known Wollaston is their home realizes that we have those kind of things. We also have the Ark. It was at one time it was the largest or the second largest privately or publicly owned recreation facility in the country, and with that they have a lot of different programs. And once again, Wollaston lives a lot on sales tax dollars. And they have got a perpetual sales tax over there, 1% sales tax, that pays for 50% of it goes to infrastructure and build-ons, and 50% goes to operations. So the ARC is pretty much paid for. It's a 70-some-odd million-dollar facility, Olympic-sized swimming pool, all the amenities from age. Well, there's a daycare over there, too, but so from birth up until 100 years old can use that facility. And it's kind of cool, you know, that where else in the upper Midwest are you on a rare occasion you go over there and you're over at your Olympic-sized swimming pool here in Wollaston, North Dakota, and Katie Ledecky is swimming laps in your swimming pool here in Wollaston working out. And we all know who Katie Ledecky is from your gold medal days, but it's pretty cool when we see something like that happening in Wollaston, and it inspires a lot of people, but also it's a little claim to fame for us out here in Wollaston, and pretty excited about that. So with that, I mentioned briefly about the expansion of the golf course. We have other facilities, the Links of North Dakota. Tom Powers out there, who owns the Links of North Dakota, just refurbished that course. I think he put in $5 or $6 million to make sure that it is one of the, if not the best or the most premier course, it is in the top two or three in the state of North Dakota and also in the country. They won two or three different awards at the last big golf convention that they had down in Florida. So that all works with that. We also are expanding our trail system here in the city. We've got a group that's putting together a nature center here that is going to be able to provide hands-on experience about nature and western North Dakota, the geology, the plants, the animals, et cetera, a learning experience there. The Convention and Visitors Bureau has always been a big part of what happens in the city of Wollaston, not this summer, but the next summer, 100 years continuously that we've ran a band day here, fills the town full of people, Chokecherry Festival, Flannel Festival, all the things that other towns do too. But we do that here in Wollaston, North Dakota. One of the things that nobody else here in North Dakota does is we do have paddlefish season out here. And through our Convention Visitors Bureau and Friends of Fort Union, we have a caviar business out here. Mm. So people can go out there and catch a fish that's over 100 pounds. I don't think that there's any place else in North Dakota that maybe over on the red on the if you tie into a big catfish. But you can catch paddlefish. We'll clean it for you. We'll take the eggs. We sell them. And whether it's to cruise lines or higher-end restaurants, those kind of things. North Star Caviar is a brand out there that people are aware of. We just came back from 2 days, not me, but our marketing people through the CVB just came back from a fancy food show in San Diego. We're sold out of product we sold everything that we processed last year, and we have got standing orders for what we can produce this year. So hopefully we have a good season.
Mayor, we have just about 30 seconds left. And just quickly, capital needs, water and sewer systems. Are you keeping up?
We've put in, like I briefly mentioned, our water system. We've got plenty of water. We need quite a bit of work done on the plant because we provide water to so many people in Western North Dakota, not only the industry, but for farmers, for crops to mix the chemicals, et cetera, those kind of things. Our sewer plant we're going to be shut down. We were going to be shut down because we had a lagoon system, and lagoon systems work perfectly fine. for 17,000 people, but they don't do it for 35,000 people. So we spent $115 million on that. Our landfill, like I said, we've expanded that, and now we should be able to be good for the next 50 years out there. We have a $450 million airport that we just built, so we can get people in here. We're going to get people out of here. It's going to be a transportation hub for Western North Dakota. You get Highway 85 all the way down to the interstate in the next few years. We will be ringed by four-lane highway into Williston. We have the rail system. We've got Burlington Northern's main line that goes right through town. We have Amtrak that goes right through town. There's a lot of positives that we have that we can offer for transportation to make sure that our infrastructure needs are going to be what Williston needs, whether you're here now or whether you want to expand into here. We're going to have a lot of work to do in the older neighborhoods and those kind of things, but we're going to get there.
That was Mayor Howard Klug. He's the mayor of Williston, and he's spoken with us about a lot of things, including economic development efforts, public safety, Williston Square, housing, healthcare, and even more. You can catch this entire interview and other conversations about our region at our website at prairiepublic.org or wherever you get your podcasts. Search for Prairie Public in Main Street. Mayor, it has been an absolute pleasure, and congratulations on your service. Thank you.
Thank you very much, and thank you for Prairie Public and the service that they provide for us out here in Western North Dakota. And as always, a plug from Williston to Prairie Public. Support Prairie Public. It's a great organization, and we appreciate what you do for us.
Thank you for that, Mayor. We appreciate it.
Support for Prairie Public is provided by Bill Dean, Realtor with Better Homes and Gardens Real Estate Alliance Group of Bismarck, helping families reach their dreams throughout the Bismarck-Mandan area. More information at BillDeanHomes.com.
If you're listening to the 3 p.m. broadcast of Main Street, catch up on the news and stories from around the world, the nation, and here at home on All Things Considered. That's up next on Prairie Public. And if you're listening to us during the evening broadcast, keep it here for Kelly Corrigan Wonders. That follows Main Street on Prairie Public.
Here's Chuck Lura with Natural North Dakota.
The November issue of National Geographic had an article about a garden in England that contained some of the most poisonous plants in the world. A visitor cannot enter the garden without supervision. Although not specifically mentioned in the article, I could not help but think of water hemlock, a plant native to North Dakota. You may recall that poison hemlock is the plant that killed the Greek philosopher Socrates. Water hemlock could also have done the job. All plant parts are toxic to humans and livestock. It's one of the deadliest plants native to North America, some say the deadliest. The fleshy roots and lower stem are particularly toxic, and plant parts are reportedly most toxic during spring. Consuming even a small piece of root or lower stem may prove fatal. An hour or so after ingesting the toxin, symptoms such as abdominal pain, nausea and vomiting, convulsions and seizures may occur, leading to a painful and miserable death. The toxin can also be absorbed in the skin. Both poison hemlock and water hemlock are members of the parsley or carrot family, which includes carrot, dill, and caraway. The family may be characterized by alternate, mainly compound leaves with white or yellow flower clusters in umbels, which are flower clusters with each flower stalk arising from the same point. Water hemlock ranges over most of the United States and Canada. It's quite common in North Dakota, and as the name implies, grows in wet places such as marshes, wet meadows, stream banks, springs, and the like. It grows to around 6 feet tall and produces large clusters of small white flowers, around 4 to 6 inches across during July to September. The leaves are alternate and compound, with each division consisting of 3 to 7 rather narrow leaflets with toothed margins. It should be noted that poison hemlock, which is not native to North America, has been documented in the state and is becoming naturalized. There are also a few other non-toxic lookalikes. However, those species are difficult to distinguish. So next summer, if you see a tall plant with large clusters of small white flowers and compound leaves growing in wet areas, it's probably best to just let it be. I've put links to more information on water hemlock along with a text of this natural North Dakota. You can access it at prairiepublic.org. I'm Chuck Lara.
Natural North Dakota is supported in part by the NDSU Central Grasslands Research Extension Center. You can get Natural North Dakota essays delivered to your inbox every week. Sign up for the email newsletter at prairiepublic.org.
This is Dakota Datebook for January 13th. William Geimer was born in Jamestown, North Dakota in 1925. After graduating from Jamestown High School, Bill entered the U.S. Navy in March of 1943 during World War II. After basic training, Geimer became a gunnery mate and was assigned to the USS Mazama. The Mazama was a large Navy ammunition ship that served in the Pacific. Navy ammunition ships were named after volcanoes, mountains that could explode. Ammunition ships could do the same. The Mazama was named after Mount Mazama, a collapsed volcano in the Cascade Range in Oregon. Duty on ammunition ships was not very desirable. Because of the ordnance they carried, they were known for spectacular explosions that would also wipe out anything in the vicinity. As a result, unless they were loading munitions on other ships, they often anchored off by themselves. The Mazama participated in the Battle of the Philippines and Leyte Gulf. While anchored at Ulithi Atoll, Geimer witnessed the first successful attack of a Kiten, a Japanese manned suicide torpedo which sank a fleet oiler on November 20, 1944. By December 1st, the Mazama headed to Espirito Santo to replenish her munition stores. Fully loaded, she returned to Ulithi on January 5, 1945. While at anchor on January 12th, another Kiten got by the submarine nets and was sighted off the Mazama's starboard quarter. Minutes later, the Mazama was rocked by a terrific blast that blew her bow out of the water. By some miracle, the ammunition in her hold did not detonate. The Mazama was severely damaged and started taking on water. Pumps were engaged to counteract flooding, and munitions were transferred to other ships. Tons of damaged munitions were dumped overboard. On this date in 1945, Geimer, along with his crewmates, were desperately trying to save their ship, caulking and plugging burst hull seams. The Mazama was eventually able to limp back to San Francisco for major repairs. By June, Bill and the Mazama were headed back to war with 5,000 tons of ammunition, remaining in the battle zone till the war ended. Bill Geimer left the Navy in 1946 and came back to North Dakota. He got an associate degree in mechanics and business in Wahpeton, married Carol Jett, and had two children. Bill Geimer passed away in 2014. Today's Dakota Datebook was written by Scott Nelson. I'm Merrill Pepcorn.
Dakota Datebook is produced in cooperation with the State Historical Society of North Dakota, with funding from Humanities North Dakota.
We'd like to thank the North Dakota Council on the Arts for supporting art programming here on Prairie Public.
Support for Prairie Public is provided by Dakota Geriatrics, presenting a virtual event on dementia care Thursday, January 22nd, noon to 4 p.m., covering activity planning, physical activity, and emotional connection. More information is available at dakotageriatrics.org.
For 7 years now, NPR has tracked the prices of dozens of items at the same Walmart in Georgia. In the past year, almost half of the items on our shopping list got more expensive, including shrimp, Oreo cookies, Coca-Cola, and Dove soap. Rising costs at the supermarket on the next morning edition from NPR News.
Starting at 4 a.m. Central, right here on Prairie Public.
And that wraps up this Tuesday edition of Main Street here on Prairie Public. We are deeply grateful that you spent time with us. Tomorrow on the show, registered dietitian Bren Klein from Essentia Health breaks down the newly recommended food pyramid, compares it to past nutrition guidance, and offers practical, science-backed advice for everyday eating. That's ahead tomorrow on Main Street, and we look forward to your joining us again.